Hey guys, welcome to today's Advanced Kyusho Audio Lesson. Now last time we spoke about humane pressure points, and I'm going to continue on that. And very shortly I'm going to give you guys a video to watch all about humane Kyusho, and actually there'll be several videos. Now you may have these or you may have seen them before, but this is going to get you to review them and understand how important this is as a stepping stone. I have a gentleman who is a newer student. He's an older gentleman. He's had a rough life, and he's looking to make sure he can protect himself. And he jokingly said the other day, "I wish you were around to teach me the death touch stuff because I just went shopping." Yeah, I laughed a lot. I have to admit, I laughed a lot, and I laughed really hard because I guess he's talking about Walmart or something like that. And there's nothing I hated more than Walmart. Now, I mean, I lived in Canada. Canada's not the United States. He's not an American either, but it'd be crazy. They'd be crazy bitches everywhere. And, you know, the way that people's mentality changes when they go into those places. So I found it to be very humorous, the fact that he said this, because I'll tell you, I've been in Walmart a couple of times, and all I really ever wanted to do was drop somebody. Because they were so arrogant, so belligerent, just so stupid. But you can't do that. And that's one of the things that is very important with regards to humane Kyusho, right? And it's usually harder to turn it down than it is to turn it up. Turning it up to a lethal dimension is not that difficult, provided, of course, you have it within you to hurt somebody. Keeping it calm is not. Now, years ago, I've taught a lot of self-defense classes and a lot of self-defense courses, and I can remember one in particular, which I'll tell you about just simply because it's come to my mind. It was at the University of Windsor, and I was asked to come in and, you know, could I do a six-week course once a week? And of course, they weren't going to pay me for it, which was okay, but, you know, because the university is just chock full of girls that really do need it, you know, especially that age. You know, they're book smart, but life smart just ain't there. So I went in, and the first night was going to purely be an awareness night. We talk about a lot. I had like 60 girls in this thing. I was thrilled. I would teach every week for a year for free to have 60 people involved in this type of a thing. The day after I did the session, there was a woman who was supposedly abducted from the University of Windsor parking lot by force. And I thought, wow, that's pretty scary, right? Because, you know, we've had, you know, most of the murders and things in Canada don't typically, or in Canada, in Windsor, I should say, didn't really typically involve abduction like this would. And your mind automatically goes back to Paul Bernardo and those types of crimes when you hear something like this. So this was like on a Wednesday that we were doing the session. So on Thursday morning, this happened. So I'm thinking the following Wednesday, I'm going to have a million people there. Half of them were gone. And then the following week, just before my third session, it turns out that this girl, that this abduction was bogus, that she had actually called it into the police herself, and she was just trying to get attention because she had some serious problems. They found her out in Bell River walking through a field naked, pretending that this was from her abduction, right? And the press kept that quiet and all this, and they just came out the whole thing was a farce. From there, I went down to like two, and I had two for the remaining couple of weeks that we did it. And one of the girls was about as sharp as a beach ball, right? She's a girl that is going to get herself in trouble. It didn't matter what I said to her. I wasn't going to reach her. But it showed how people think about things, right? And the thought process was, well, it's happened now, so I'm safe. And, okay, I had to admit, I was like, oh, it just made my head hurt. Anyways, when I was doing the awareness parts of these different workshops, I was giving out some information that was bad. It wasn't bad 10 years before, but it was bad at that point in time. And my statement simply was, by law in Ontario or Canada, by under the criminal code, if someone attacks you and you hurt them and they're unconscious, whatever, you are supposed to call the police and remain on the scene, wait for the police to arrive. Now, personally, if you attack me and I kill you, I don't care, right? There is no place in my heart for you. I'm not capable of that. And, you know, many people over the years have commented on how cold I can be with regards to this. I think that you should castrate and execute pedophiles, but not necessarily in that order. I just have no tolerance for that type for violent crime. Zero tolerance. I think if you're 10 and you kill somebody, you should go to prison for the rest of your life. That's how hard ass I am about it. I would tell people that, you know, the law says you have to do this, but I wouldn't. Leave the guy there. Who cares if he bleeds out? It's not a loss to society. And I was corrected by a friend, Chad Berry, actually, who said, you know, man, you're not thinking here. You know, people might have the cameras on that thing, videos on that thing, and you beat the shit out of this guy and walk away. You know, not a good thing to do. And I started thinking about that. And I'm like, yeah, you got a real point there. He says, yeah, because you leave the scene, you are going to look guilty and you are probably going to end up in prison for defending yourself like so many people do. So I had to completely rethink that wheel. It doesn't mean I have to help them. Right? Now, if you're going to leave the scene, you have to immediately call the police and you have to say that you left the scene because you were still afraid for your life because you didn't believe the problem was over. Right? And then make sure they can get a hold of you. And that way you cover yourself in that. So I completely changed that. But with the number of cameras that are out there, and I mean, it would be scary if you go out in public. It would be scary to find out in a year how many pictures have been taken of you by other people. Not because they were taking pictures of you, but you started them because everybody has a camera now. Okay? And they're just phones. So it becomes much more important to understand what humane pressure points are and how to use them. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not going to hurt the guy. It means that you're not going to look so much like you're hurting the guy. And that's critical. I can bash somebody at Spleen 21 and do all kinds of damage there and turn around and go, well, Your Honor, I only hit him once. I didn't know that, you know, didn't know I hurt him that bad. And it has become in many, many ways, even though life has always been survival of the fittest, it is becoming more so that way because the playing field is no longer level in any way. So anyways, in the next lesson, we're going to include a couple of different videos in it. And I want you to take a really good look at them. And if you do happen to own these, this will give you a chance to take another really good look at them. And we need to have some dialogue to get your ideas here. Because we're to the point now in all of this where we need to start to really seriously look at application of everything, because the ground has been broken and the foundation is being set. Now we have to start to build on that foundation. Right? Anyways, that's it for this day's lesson. We'll catch you guys very shortly. Have a great day or week until the next time we talk. Ciao.